is found in Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done. The things you planned for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased, O Lord, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to help me. May all who seek to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, the Lord be exalted. Yet I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. O my God, do not delay. This is the word of the Lord.
All right, kids, have a good time. Teacher, you too. All right, well, let's pray as we come to God's word together. Gracious God, for gathering this group of people here and now, we give you thanks. For descending upon us by your Holy Spirit, we give you thanks. And now as we come to your word, may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of every one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Can anybody here think of a line? It can just be a single line from a psalm that you have memorized. Anybody? Any psalm. There's 150 of them to choose from. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yeah, oh, we had three of them that were in agreement on that one. Yeah, good. Psalm 23. Any others? Putting you on the spot, I know this is hard. Anything, any line from a psalm? We just sang a whole song full of lines from a psalm, in case you were looking for a hint. What's that? I say, I will sing a new song, absolutely. We got one right there. Anybody else? Anybody heard, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path? Okay, Psalm 119, 105. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Psalm 136, 1. See, you may not have known where these were from, but these are all from the Psalms. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship his holy name. I can't remember which psalm that is, but it's definitely in there. I should have looked it up in advance, but yeah, there's a lot of psalms. Most of the songs that we sing in church actually have at least some sort of line from one of the psalms. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's a beautiful line from Psalm 139. The psalms have a way of getting into us because they were originally conceived as both poems and songs themselves. Now, most of those ancient melodies that they sang, the original melodies, we don't sing or we don't have access to. We have a lot of older melodies to songs that we can sing some of the psalms to. But the psalms have always had a very special place among God's people. They're kind of like our prayer book. And for Jesus, the psalms were his prayer book. And we'll talk quite a bit about that in this upcoming series. But the psalms, in many ways, teach us how to pray. Or they should teach us how to pray, if we let them. But sometimes we're so confused by some of the things that some of the psalms say that we don't know how it could teach us to pray. Some of the psalms say odd, violent, seemingly hurtful things, which is confusing to us. And some of the psalms are just beautiful, poetic, and they ring in our ears, and we just want to live with them. Right? Again, we had several hands say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Many of you could go on and continue that psalm all the way to the end. Even if you didn't get every word right, you'd get the gist of it, because these are beautiful and comforting words. So the psalms, what do we do with them? This may be just obvious, but I want to just lay out a few different things that we do with them. We read them, right? Okay? Some of you, have you ever used a devotional that uses some sort of a psalm every single day? Like maybe you've gone through a year and you've read a psalm every day that year, or a portion of a psalm every day that year. Anybody ever done that? Okay. some devotionals that have you read the whole Bible in a year. I don't know if you ever heard of that. Like if you read four chapters a day, you can read the whole Bible in a year. I don't know if you knew that. but you can. So you can try it sometime if you want. It's not too late to start this year. You might have to do five chapters for the first 15 days. I don't know. Anyway, I did my math wrong there. Might have to do eight chapters. But usually they divide it up so that you're reading some Old Testament, some New Testament, and some Psalms every single day when you do one of those plans, so that you're not just starting in Genesis and then everybody stalls out halfway through Leviticus because why? Why? All these regulations, it's too hard to read. Give me something else. So then you get to read a little bit of a Psalm, and you get to read a little bit of a New Testament as well. Anyway, we read them. We analyze them. And maybe we don't do this very much or very well, but just like any good piece of poetry can be analyzed, and you can take a look at its structure and what it's trying to do, you can learn more things by analyzing it. So we can analyze a psalm, because these are poems. Just like you study Shakespeare in school, you can study the psalms here in church, or you can study the psalms in school too, wherever you want to, you can study them. The psalms are beautiful. And they do use literary technique, and that stuff can all be helpful as we analyze the psalms. We can pray the psalms. So it's one thing to read the psalms, and it's kind of necessary to start there. It's hard to pray a psalm that you've never read before. But once you've read it, and 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 maybe committed it to memory, then you can pray it. And the psalm can actually pray in you. If you have some psalms memorized, you can be making your morning coffee and praying a psalm as you do it. It's hard to read a book and do some things in our lives, but when we have things memorized up here, they can work in us throughout the day. And that's the last thing. Memorize. We can memorize the psalms. Often that's with a melody, right? Because so many psalms have been set to music, but sometimes we just memorize it. I remember in confirmation, 8th grade, memorizing Psalm 139. Or, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You perceive my thoughts from afar. I don't remember the whole thing anymore, but it was this, it just gripped me, the poetry of Psalm 139. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. How's that for beautiful language and comforting? No matter where I am, God is always there. Some of these words are worth memorizing. And Eugene Peterson, a great pastor for many years, a biblical scholar, a trusted leader in the church, calls the Psalms tools for believing and becoming. Any of you who try to fix things, you know that it's often easiest to fix something if you have the correct tool to fix it, right? Me, I always try with all the wrong tools because I don't have very many tools and I don't really like asking for help, et cetera, you know, whatever, stubborn, I don't know. I feel incompetent whenever I try to fix anything. So then, you know, that stalls me out right there. but when we have the right tools, we can do the job better, more efficiently, and correctly, right? Well, if we want to believe well, and if we want to become more mature in our faith in Christ, the Psalms are a great tool for that. They were the primary tool that Jesus used. You know, every day, Jesus would pray the Psalms, just like any Jewish child, young adult in his day would. They would pray the Psalms each and every day. The Psalter, you would call it if you were singing it in particular. But these are tools for believing and becoming, and the Psalms are a very important tool for us, and maybe an underutilized tool. So, hence, we're taking some time to study the Psalms. We're taking some time to think about those tools and how they might be useful for us as we seek to grow deeper in our faith with God. So we're going to start with Psalm 40. You may have guessed that already since we just read it and we sang a song. Okay, you're with me on that. So let's do a little analyzing of Psalm 40. We're going to analyze its structure a little bit. And this will help us understand it more and help us get a sense of what Psalm 40 is doing. So the first three verses are testifying to the faithfulness of God. That whole song that we sang, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined and he heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock. He made my footsteps firm. I asked for God's help and he was faithful and he was there. And I will sing a new song. I will sing a new song to testify that God was there for me. So that's where this psalm begins, testifying to the faithfulness of God. God has been there in my life, and not just like in a general vague sense. There was something serious going on in my life. I was in a pit, and God rescued me. Has God ever rescued you out of a pit? Maybe Psalm 40 is a great place to begin testifying. Yes. Sometimes I've had to wait patiently, but God has rescued me from serious pits in my life. And that's where this psalm begins. I have to testify, God is faithful. He's been faithful in my very life. He's been faithful in our collective life together. Let's start there. Not every psalm starts there, but that's where this psalm starts. God is faithful. And then, in the next section, verse 4 and 5, we have this proverb, or beatitude, perhaps you could say. Blessed are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. This is a proverb or a beatitude about God's trustworthiness. So we begin with a story. We begin with, this was a situation in life. He set my feet on a rock. He rescued me from a pit. And now we say a proverb. Yes, God is trustworthy. And blessed are those who trust in God. God is trustworthy. And then we have verses 6 through 8. the third section. And I'm going to read this whole section again. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. Now, this is actually an odd thing for a psalmist to say. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. Bringing sacrifices to God is one of the central things that people talk about doing in the Psalms, actually. Bringing sacrifices of praise, bringing sacrifices, bringing offerings to the altar, that is something that we talk about a lot in the Psalms. But this one says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. God needed something more than just sacrifice and offering. But my ears you have opened. The psalmist says, I can hear you to God. I can hear you. How powerful is that? How many of you wish you could hear God a little bit better? If right now, today, you could like download some sort of app in your personal life that allowed you to hear God better, hear what he wants you to do today, how many people would download it in a heartbeat and say, okay, I got a better sense of knowing what, I mean, you may not like what you hear. I can almost promise you won't like it, at least not every day. Because some of those things that you hear may be like hard, right? God might be asking us to do, to live our lives a little differently than we have been. We may have gotten a little soft in our obedience. But he says, my ears are open, okay? You didn't ask for a sacrifice. You didn't ask, my ears are open, I'm listening. I desire, verse 8, to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. Your law is within my heart. We have the law here on these in these pages, but your law is within my heart. I desire to do your will, and I hear you. We're going to come back to that, because that's in bold for a reason. That's sort of central to what this psalm is all about. Delighting to do God's will. To know, to hear, and to do God's will. Okay, verses 9 and 10, we're testifying to God's faithfulness again. Just where we started, testifying to God's faithfulness. I'm proclaiming your saving acts in the great assembly. The next section, verses 11 through 13, this is the psalmist admitting, and I keep saying the psalmist, it's David, King David, you may have heard of him. King David is confessing that trust is hard. It's difficult. Troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs on my head. Can you imagine feeling like your sins are more than the hairs on your head? And I don't think David was a bald man, and he was just, you know, counting the 20 hairs that he... No, he had a full head of hair, and he's saying, my sins are greater than the number of hairs on my head. Trusting you is hard. Trusting myself is hard. Following is hard. Obedience is hard. This life can be hard. This is a central component of this psalm, and it is an important component in our own prayer life. Confessing before God, the one who can do something about it and the one who's with us through it all, that, man, this is hard. And how many people, some days that's your prayer. Dear Lord, this is hard. Maybe it's like, dear Lord, fix it. Seriously, fix it. And, you know, sometimes we need to have a little more patience than that, but that may be the true cry of our heart. God, fix it. Troubles without number surround me. And then the last few verses, 14 through 17, is a prayer for help, a crying out to God for help, and a crying out for God to be glorified in every situation. So it's interesting because We testify to God's faithfulness. We talk about his trustworthiness. We delight in God's will. We testify to his faithfulness again. And after doing all that, after proclaiming all the ways that God has already done such marvelous things, has already been so faithful to me, we proclaim the way that he's answered the prayers of my life, right? We come before God and we say, God, you have answered my prayers. I give you thanks for the gifts that you've given me. You've given me a family. You've given me friends. You've given me life. You've given me a home and a car and the ability to put gas in that car and the ability to pay the mortgage payments on that home. You've given me a job. You've given me something. You've given me so many things. And that's where it begins. And yet at the end, and we know how this is, we still need more help, right? God has given us so much, and yet we are still in need. That is who we are as humans. We've been given so much, and yet we are still in need. Amen? And it's all part of our relationship with God. So back to that central component. That what this psalm is all about is about delighting to do God's will. this concept, this section of the psalm, actually, verses 6 through 8, are referred to in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 10. So sort of near the end of the New Testament, we have this. The author of the Hebrews, and we don't know who wrote Hebrews. Some people think it was Paul. Some people think it was, we're not going to get into all of that biblical scholarship. But we don't know who wrote it, but the author says this. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. The author of Hebrews is talking about the sacrificial system. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, this is what the author of Hebrews says. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, and then quote Psalm 40, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am, it is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God. So the author of the Hebrews says that when Jesus came to earth, he spoke. He said these words from Psalm 40. That he took on these words. He spoke them. And that line in verse 7, here I am, I have come, it is written about me in the scroll. When Jesus says that, that's like extra powerful. It is written about me in the scroll. Well, we believe that because we believe a whole lot of the scrolls here are about Jesus, don't we? So Jesus takes ownership and identifies with this psalm. And one of the most perplexing and yet hope-giving things about the life of Jesus is when he delights to do God's will. When he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, before he dies, before he's taken and arrested, and he's praying, Lord, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Remember this? Jesus desires to do God's will. He is the embodiment of the message of Psalm 40. He is the embodiment of this delight and desire to do God's will. And I should say, delight might not be the best word. I should have said desiring to do God's will. Because he wasn't super delighted in that moment to do God's will, because he knew the cross was coming. And no matter how at the center of God's will you are, that's not delightful, right? The pain is not delightful, and yet it is at the center of God's will. So Hebrews puts those words into Jesus' mouth. And so for us, when we live like Christ, we also fulfill this psalm's central intent. When we also offer our lives and say, not my will but yours be done, we are living into the central intent and desire of this psalm. And so praying with this psalm is praying with and through Jesus. It's an ancient spiritual formation practice that is called praying with the Psalms. People have been doing it for thousands of years, praying with the Psalms. And it's like, what does that mean? That was my first question when I heard that phrase, praying with the Psalms. What does that mean? I mean, I can pray the Psalms, right? I can read them. But what does it mean to pray with words on a page? It's weird. It's like I'm coming alongside these words and trying to pray with them. It's not like I can sit in a room with a psalm in the same way that I can sit in a room with Don and pray together. But maybe I can. Maybe I can sit in a room with a psalm and pray with it, just like I do pray with another person. Because praying with a psalm is praying with and through Jesus. Jesus is the embodiment, the fulfillment of all these psalms, and he prayed them. And so when we pray them, we can pray with Jesus. We can pray knowing that Jesus prayed these exact words, and we can reckon with that reality that Jesus prayed these words, and now here I am praying these same words, so I'm praying with Jesus, and this is kind of cool. Repetition and memorization help us to pray with. If you get one thing out of this series on the Psalms, I hope it's not just a cursory little tidbit about a bunch of different Psalms. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of a tidbit about a bunch of different Psalms throughout the coming weeks, but I hope you're able to take one that draws you in. Right? Maybe Psalm 40, maybe a particular portion of Psalm 40 draws you in. Like, oh, I need to chew on those words some more. How do you chew on words? Well, you repeat them over and over. Sometimes you mouth the words as you read them to yourself. You mumble them, you chew on them. You can move your mouth while you read, right? Some people move their mouths when they read all the time anyway. But chewing on, mulling over the words, committing them to memory, even if it's just one little line that is a touchstone for you to move into that psalm. Next Sunday evening, we have one of our Tezay prayer services. And one of the songs that we sing at Tezay is called Come and Pray in Us. And the song is, Come and pray in us, Holy Spirit. Come and pray in us. Come and visit us, Holy Spirit, Spirit come, Spirit come. And we sing it over and over. Come and pray in us, Holy Spirit. We believe that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us in prayer. We believe that when we pray, we can have the Holy Spirit actually praying in us and with us. We can actually have God. Right? We believe the Holy Spirit is God. We're Trinitarian Christians. We believe the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are the Godhead. We believe that God can actually pray in us and with us. And the Psalms are one of those tools that allow us to pray in and with God himself. Now, this may sound really hippy-dippy or trippy or skippy or something. I don't know what you... But that's the mystery of God, right? God is not something that we can like just grasp at. There's so much good, so much presence of God that we might miss just by glancing over things quickly. When we take the time to be with this prayer book, God can pray in us. So, we locked into that thesis, that center of this psalm. I desire to do your will, my God. This desiring of God's will is central, but it's only the beginning of this psalm because it is maybe our entry point, but to pray this psalm and to believe and become with this psalm comes in the whole rhythm. Testifying to God's faithfulness, speaking of his trustworthiness, delighting to do his will, testifying to his faithfulness again, admitting that trust is hard, and continuing to pray for God's help. All of those things, all of those components of the psalm are very real in our lives and should be very real in our prayers. We don't need to pretend that life is easy or perfect when we pray before God. He knows. And if we're lying to him straight up, right, saying, oh God, I don't need anything today, I'm just going to keep to myself. God knows. And maybe you're not doing it on purpose, right? And I know it's really easy to just repress things subconsciously and just, but God wants to hear it all. He wants to hear what's going on in our hearts. He wants to hear those complaints. He wants to hear that trusting him is hard because then he knows we're in the game, right? He knows that we're committed to him if we're confessing, man, I'm trying to trust you and I'm having a really hard time with it. Well, then he knows that we're trying. Because if we think it's easy, we're probably not trying very hard. If we think trusting and following God is easy, we may not be doing it at all. Right? This is the good news and the rhythm of this psalm. God, you have delivered me. Now, deliver me again. Yet not my will, but yours be done. I'm not sure what you need to be delivered from today. Heck, I'm not even sure what I need to be delivered from today, other than sleeplessness. God, you have delivered me from so much. Continue to deliver me from what I need to be delivered from, and yet not my will, but yours be done. Let's pray. God, we thank you for delivering us, for being faithful and trustworthy, for lifting us up out of the pit and setting our feet firmly on a rock. And we do get tired of the same old song sometimes. And so we invite you to put a new song on our lips. Maybe that's literally a song. Maybe that's just a new action where you're doing something new, something unexpected in our lives. Weave something new into our lives. Let us know that you are here. We may feel very far from you today. Let us know that you're not far from us. We may feel like all of our efforts at trying to be better aren't working. Show us what it is that will work. Show us what it is to follow you anyway. God, come and pray in us and with us as we respond to your good news today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's stand together.